Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to bring back a special guest for Father's Day and learn about this year's upcoming Patriot Ride. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
More than 100 Minnesota cities, counties, corporations, and colleges have been designated as Yellow Ribbon entities throughout Minnesota. Perhaps you've seen signs welcoming you into Yellow Ribbon communities. These great towns and company have modeled exceptional commitment to our service members and their families. I frequently receive feedback from families of service members across Minnesota who have received support in the form of lawn care, child care, meals, car repair, household chores, and tutoring coordinated by their neighbors. Yellow Ribbon networks have all demonstrated willingness to aid military families in many of these ways. I have heard of experienced business leaders who have stepped forward to assist families with budgeting and investment assistance. Yellow Ribbon networks, businesses, and communities have committed to ensuring that returning veterans have mentors to assist in finding employment that will build on the strong leadership skills they develop during a deployment. And of course, our Yellow Ribbon networks across Minnesota are always involved in the send-offs or return of our service members. We appreciate your visible sign of support on these very emotional days. Be a part of something big and learn how you can link in with your city or town's Yellow Ribbon network, or start one in your community. Find out more at beyondayellowribbon.org.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining us next is a frequent guest to Minnesota Military Radio, an officer, a United States Army officer who we first met when he was here in Minnesota. We followed him to Afghanistan and then all the way to the Pentagon. And calling in from D.C. is Colonel Mike Price. Colonel, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Tom. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
Colonel, we very much enjoyed you on the show the few years you were here as the commander of the St. Paul District of the Army Corps of Engineers from 2010 to 2013. Do you think back fondly on those years, sir?
I sure do, and I mentioned to you earlier that I spent a day in the Twin Cities a couple weeks ago, and it brought back all those great memories, and I still feel that my job there was the best tour of my life.
Colonel, as I recall, when you were there, you were on the show three or four times, and you were telling us about all the great people that are over there and the fact that you had the honor to be in command for 3 years.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to command our soldiers and our civilians, and there's nothing better in our Army to lead alongside those great patriots.
And, sir, several of the things we were talking about when you were on the show then was the annual rite of passage here in the spring was flooding. And, of course, you had to stay on top of that. But there was, you were also in charge of a lot of recreational facilities.
Yeah, and I still keep track of those events every springtime and throughout the summer. And, in fact, I got it bookmarked on all my computers to make sure I watch the flows up in the Red River and the upper Mississippi and Minnesota. Because I know anytime that water starts flowing high, those great Americans from the district are out there fighting a fight and taking care of lots of communities.
Well, we've had a fairly easy spring here this year, sir, and I'm sure that the St. Paul District is busy taking reservations for the campgrounds and all of those facilities they manage.
Yeah, they're probably, I won't say they're bored, but they take a deep breath every spring when the floods don't come, so they can focus on other things, and like you said, start looking at all the great recreational opportunities that the state of Minnesota has for the entire state.
We're talking with Colonel Mike Price, Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, after you left here, you took what had to be an arduous command. As I understand it, you went to you deployed to Afghanistan, and as I recall, you combined two engineering districts over there, and you had, I think, hundreds of projects you had to deal with from 2013 to 2014.
Yeah, that's correct. I went over there and I was told I was going to be the first and last commander of the Transatlantic Afghanistan District. And lo and behold, 4 years later, they still have an 06 going over there to take command because the work still comes. So while I was there, I think I completed right around 300 projects worth several billion dollars, and still a lot more to go. And it was a pleasure for me to be over there leading other great Americans and mentoring Afghan engineers to help build their country and to take care of their soldiers like we take care of ours.
Colonel, there I hear people calling that our longest war, the place that we've been the most years in a row, and you were there, as we said, from 2013 to 2014. Are we doing any good over there? Do the Afghanistan people appreciate all the hard work you did on all those projects?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, as I was leaving, I've been there several times. So the third time I was there, I befriended an Afghan brigade commander, a general officer. He was at my change of command when I arrived in Afghanistan, and he was at my change of command when I left Afghanistan. And he couldn't thank us enough for all the work that we've done to help his country. And not just me, it's the American soldier, sailor, airman, marine, Coast Guardsman, and Army civilians that are out there helping to build the country and help build the processes and the infrastructure so that they can manage their own nation. And that's what it's about. We're creating a secure environment so that the Afghans can get on with a safe and secure lifestyle.
So, sir, is it safe to say we've built some really good friendships with almost a generation of Afghan civilians?
I would absolutely agree with that. In the last 15 years that we've been over there in multiple deployments for many, many soldiers and sailors and airmen, they go back and see the same people, and they're fighting every day where we get a break and come back home and see family. They're fighting every day to secure their country and their way of life. And it really is a unique culture, and they are very thankful for everything we've done.
So you're feeling pretty good about that deployment and all the work you were able to complete.
Yeah, I had a great tour over there, and I would do it again, except, you know, I've got a family here, but I always tell my wife someday I want to take my family over to Afghanistan as a tourist, not as a deployer, because it is a beautiful country, a beautiful culture, and the local population are great friends to the Americans.
And hopefully that country will be safe enough so that you can do that one day, sir.
I sure hope so, before I get too old.
Colonel, it was great having you back on the show. What's happened since you came back from that tour in Afghanistan?
Well, they promised me a tour in the Pentagon, so they lived up to that. So I came back. I didn't have a job when I first got back, and as I was moving towards Washington, D.C., I got a phone call and was told I was going to be the assistant director of training on the Army staff. So I did that for a year, where I basically looked at all of the Army's requirements for training, whether that was Army, National Guard or Reserve, be it home station training, simulation training, National Training Center, all that stuff. I was advising my boss on how we can best provide that for our soldiers through funding mechanisms and that sort of stuff. I did that for a year, and for the last 2 years, I've been the executive officer to the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Civil Works. And that's been a rather challenging and rewarding job, seeing a different part of our Army, the political side of it, and our ties to the administration and to Congress, and how we get our mission done.
Colonel, it would seem on the rebound from your Afghanistan tour, going into a position of director of training for the Army headquarters staff, you knew how your soldiers were doing their job over in Afghanistan, and you might add a few suggestions for them.
Yeah, and I learned so much in that 1 year about how the Army really works, and it all comes down to funding and how we interact with the Army GA to get all of the programs funded at the strategic level. And it really was an eye-opener in what really happens in this five-sided building.
Now, Colonel, as I recall, when you're not up here as commander of the St. Paul District, the Army Corps of Engineers, or in Afghanistan, you used to call Michigan home.
Yep, and I still call Michigan home, and I'm looking forward to going there in a couple weeks as I make that transition to another position for our Army, where I'll go be a senior advisor to the Michigan Army National Guard. I'm really looking forward to that, to get back to interacting with soldiers on a much more personal level and get away from this enterprise level where I'm looking at cubes and staff officers and pushing papers.
Sir, I know when you were here as commander of the St. Paul District, you worked closely with the Minnesota National Guard on the spring flooding and in the river issues and a lot of other things. So you've had some good experience working with Guard troops in the past.
I have, and they are soldier citizens, and they live in all of our communities in every one of our states. And one day they're sitting next to you doing their normal job, and the next day they've been called up to go do something, either fight overseas or fight floodwaters or name a disaster in the United States. They really are a pretty dynamic part of our Army, and the big Army couldn't do it without all of our soldiers.
And sir, what a way to cap a career by spending a couple of years with as liaison officer to the Michigan National Guard.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, and hope to interact with the states adjacent to us, whether that's Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Ohio, whatever one I can reach out and touch. I hope to work with all of them.
Sir, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about deployments and Father's Day. We're speaking with Colonel Mike Price on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Colonel Mike Price on Minnesota Military Radio. He was the commander of the St. Paul District, the Army Corps of Engineers, from 2010 to 2013. And then we followed him to Afghanistan, where he completed hundreds of projects and combined two engineering districts over there in 2013 and 14. And now he's out in Washington, D.C., and soon to go to his home state to be a liaison officer with the Michigan National Guard to cap off a long career. How many years have you been in service, sir?
Well, I just turned 28 years in the Army and got two to go, and it's been a tremendous career, and I've loved every minute of it.
Well, quite an opportunity to have earned the right to go home to your home state and spend a couple of years with the Michigan National Guard, and I bet you're looking forward to that, sir.
Yes, again, I am. It's one, I got to get back to a colder climate so I can do a lot more things outside, and two, the National Guard, like I said earlier, is a great organization, and Michigan's got a great reputation, so I'm looking forward to getting there and interacting with them great soldiers.
Sir, on this show, we're talking about Father's Day, which is this weekend, and you've been in the service for 28 years. And how many deployments were you on, sir?
I've overseas deployments, I've had a total of five. And then, the first year I was in the Army married, I think I spent 270 days in the field out of the first year. So I spent my share out in the woods and away from family.
So you spent a lot of holidays, a lot of special days like Father's Day, separated from your wife and your sons, and it was not only hard on you in terms of sacrifice being away from your family, but families sacrifice as well, don't they?
Yeah, I can't say enough about how much our wives and our kids sacrifice in supporting their soldier, and I couldn't do it without them. And their support, and a lot of soldiers are the same way. They couldn't make it through what they do every day without the support of their spouse or their children.
And Colonel, on that last deployment to Afghanistan, you must have had a lot of soldiers under your command. How did they weather it being away from their families?
You know, it's actually they all did pretty well, and it's pretty nice over there now with all the technology. We're able to, Skype and FaceTime and all that stuff. And where I was at, we had our own telephone network, so there's lots of nightly calls to family. So it was a lot easier my last deployment than was my very first deployment in Desert Storm, where I had to drive 16 kilometers to go to a phone bank and wait in line for 2 hours for a 10-minute phone call. It's changed so much, and it's got a lot more it's all about taking care of soldiers now, and this is one way to do it, is provide them the opportunity to speak to their families.
And, sir, I understand. How many children do you have, sir?
I got four boys, and my oldest son is a lieutenant. He graduated from West Point in 2014, so as I was redeploying, I was heading to a graduation for him at West Point, and then he headed off to the Engineer Basic Course, and he's now up in Alaska in the 70th. Brigade Engineer Battalion, loving life up in Alaska, enjoying everything they have to offer up there. And then my youngest,
Go ahead.
My youngest son, it's been a great last couple months for us. He's getting ready to graduate high school here in West Springfield, and he's been accepted to attend West Point. So we couldn't be prouder of that.
We're speaking with Colonel Mike Price on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, all these years your families have had to deal with you being deployed, and now you got a couple of years ahead of you in Michigan and then retirement. Now the tables are going to be reversed on you. You've got your oldest son and your youngest son. One graduated from West Point, one going to West Point. You're going to be on the other side of that and thinking about them when they're deployed, sir.
Yeah, and not only that, my son and I talk often about, what he should do next and career progression, those sorts of things. So not only being a father, but also being a mentor and a counselor to them as they grow in their career and their profession. Again, it's been very rewarding. And just like the Army is built on tradition, I think the Army's biggest tradition is the fact that a lot of soldiers have generations worth of soldiers in their family. And I'm one of those. And again, I couldn't be more proud of all my children.
So those two, one graduated from West Point and the other one going there, they're going to get some few words of wisdom from their father about their career and deployments and how to do some things that maybe you didn't have the advantage of, sir.
Right. You know, my father spent 20 years in the Air Force. I won't hold that against him, but he gave me lots of words of wisdom, and I put them to use. So I hope my sons that are going into the Army take the same advice and you put it to good use as well.
You know, Colonel, it's hard duty, but some of us had to serve in the Air Force, as I did. And as they say, somebody had to be in the country club, and the hot chow and sleeping on the bed was a good thing.
Yeah, my dad and I kid all the time about Army versus Air Force, but in the end, we're still serving and defending our nation's values, regardless of what color uniform we wear.
So, sir, I got to ask you, how's your wife feel about two of her boys in the Army?
You know, she's very supportive, and we didn't have to push either one of them. They both chose this route on their own, and again, she's just as proud as I am, and excited and can't wait till they get there and get through that thing so she can go visit them and hopefully in the future some grandkids if that ever comes about. But she's been very supportive of me, and she knows all about what Army life is and what West Point life is. So she's taking it pretty well.
Sir, are you looking forward to Father's Day this year?
Yes, I am. And it's not only Father's Day, and you know, I like the way they plan this. This tomorrow's the Army's birthday, And Friday's the birthday for the engineer regiment. So we got lots to celebrate this week. Lots of activities up here in the Pentagon and in Washington, D.C. and all across the nation as we celebrate Flag Day and Army birthday and then Father's Day to cap it off. So we're looking for a great weekend and great weather and good family time.
Kind of a big bonus to be back in the United States and being able to participate in all of that on Father's Day towards the end of your career.
Yeah, I guess it is. And next year I'll take it one better and be able to spend it with my father. So we'll be right down the street from each other.
That'll be great. So are you getting ready to pack up and move to Michigan then, sir?
Yes, I am. And we got the Packers all planned and transportation all ready to roll on. And I got a couple weeks left in this seat, and I'll pass it off to another great colonel. And just like most Army units do, we pass off our roles and responsibilities and move on to the next one, and that's what I'll do.
Sir, have you had a chance to meet or talk with any of the folks over in the Michigan National Guard yet?
Yes, I have. I actually met with their deputy tag. He's been up in the building and seems like a very, very well greased machine in Michigan, and I spent the day with the staff there as well when I was there on vacation. I take vacation and go see my next unit. That's not a bad way to do it.
Sir, I would guess all your experience the last few years in Afghanistan and being out at the Pentagon and out in Washington, D.C., you're probably going to be a pretty handy liaison officer for the Michigan National Guard.
I sure hope so, and I hope I can serve them as well as I hope I can. I want to be an asset to them and not a hindrance. So,
I'm sure you will be, sir. Colonel, we've got many listeners, over 43 stations all over in Minnesota, and they've all enjoyed you calling in to talk to us and following your career. It's very kind of you to do that. But for those listeners, if they were thinking about a career in the military, what would you have to say to them, sir?
Well, first thing I'll say is, Tom, I appreciate all you do for the military that's in Minnesota, and your ability to reach out and reach the community is tremendous, and thanks for that. But I will tell anyone considering to serve is that it's a unique way of life, and you will join something bigger than yourself. You've probably heard that before, but being in the Army or any branch of service, you're serving your nation as a public servant, and I don't think there's anything more honorable than wearing this noble cloth and defending our Constitution, both foreign and domestic enemies, and being part of a great team that our country needs and our country supports. So if you're on the edge of joining, go talk to recruiters. They'll tell you a lot more stuff, what your opportunities are. But the one thing I'll tell you is that being a soldier has been a joy for me, serving my nation and serving other nations as well.
Sir, it's been an honor to follow your career, and I hope we get to talk to you at least one more time up at the Michigan National Guard, and just want to thank you for taking the time to check in with us so often.
All right. Thanks, Tom, and appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. That was Colonel Mike Price on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to learn about this year's upcoming Patriot Ride. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
Today I want to spend a few moments recognizing fathers across Minnesota. These dads might be veterans, they might be currently serving, returning home from a deployment, or they might have suffered the loss of their son or daughter in service to this country. Whatever your situation, I want to thank you for the role you have played in the lives of our children and families across Minnesota. Actions speak volumes about love and commitment, and simply being there sets the example and grounds our children. This Father's Day, I encourage dads to spend time instilling the importance of service and volunteering to the community, to those in need, and to this country. This is the time to demonstrate to our children the power of serving others. Not only does it help our children grow and develop into generous and caring adults, it also gives back. On behalf of everyone here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the veterans across this great state, best wishes for a wonderful and meaningful day of celebration.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Doug Bly and Tim Lienhart. Gentlemen, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Doug, you are the former state captain. I always thought it was fun to call you Captain Bly. And you're currently serving as the president of the board of directors. And Tim, you're on the show with us every 4 weeks. You do a great job. I see your hat of courage brought you back into the studio today.
It is.
And you're a former state assistant captain and Northwest Metro ride captain, and now you're serving as the webmaster.
Oh, yeah.
Does that mean you're pretty adept, Tim?
Well, I've always been the webmaster.
All right.
I'll bet you didn't advertise it.
Your hat of courage taught you how to do that.
Well, yeah. You don't want everybody to think you're a geek.
Well, the whole world knows you like to drive around on your motor scooter, and you don't like to drive in a cage.
That's right.
And you taught me all about that, but I'm still going to drive in my Jeep. So
that's okay. Fine.
And, Doug, I know that you've got your motorcycles out already.
Yes, sir.
Have you been out for some rides?
No, I have. I've actually had both of them out, Tom, and really just been able to spend a nice day. We went to Ladysmith, Wisconsin for the Fallen Heroes ride. That's always Mother's Day week, and it's our traditional kind of kickoff of the riding year. And so it's just been enjoyable. We got to pick your way around the rain spots and the cold days.
Well, Doug, for the few people that may not know, can you tell us Minnesota Patriot Guard and your riders? Who are they, and what do they do, and why?
We've been in existence since 2006, and it's just about 5,000 of the best patriots across the country, in Minnesota, that I would put them up against anybody. It's takes nothing to join. It's just an email address and a 3x5 flag on a pole, and you just want to do the right thing. You just want to give something back. You want to tell our military members, our veterans and actively serving, the families who have lost, and also then our law enforcement, as well, that we support what they're doing and we're behind them. So it's just basically go to our website, www.mnpatriotguard.org. On the left-hand side, click Join Us. Tim, the webmaster, helps see the information come across, and you get a weekly email of upcoming missions. And then just pick one thing. And if you do one thing, I promise you'll be back for more.
Now, there's a misconception out there, maybe not so much anymore, but a lot of people think it's a bunch of Vietnam veterans that ride around on their motorcycles and go to funerals.
You know, and it really is, Tom. We've been fighting that misperception for 12 years, and I myself, I did not serve in the military, and this is my opportunity to give back to those who have and who are. But you do not have to be a veteran, you do not have to be actively serving the military, and you do not need a motorcycle. You know, think about being in Minnesota as we go to missions and funerals. We're not taking bikes in January and December. We're taking our cars or cages. And so that's those things really just we have to overcome that. But it is much more than just a bunch of Vietnam vets riding around.
And, Tim, if they want to be a Patriot Guard rider, what do they need? Flag.
Flag.
Pole.
Pole.
And?
And honor, dignity, and respect in their heart for our soldiers.
And a good heart.
Oh, yeah.
And as Doug said, they can go to the they'll get a weekly email.
Yep.
Of missions coming up.
Yep.
If they have time and they're available, all they have to do is get there on time and find the right captain.
Exactly.
And he'll brief them on what to do and how.
That's right. We'll make sure they got everything they need, know where to stand, what to do. And from then on, it's just something that they'll never forget.
And, Doug, there's one other piece of equipment that I think you and a lot of the guys bring with you, and that's dark glasses.
Well, that's true, Tom. It's, you know, the... You wouldn't think it'd be emotional. It's for someone you don't know. And as you're standing there and that family comes by you with their grief showing and they reach their hand out and they shake your hand and say, thank you for being here today. And it can't help but pull something from you. And if you don't have any emotions from that, you don't belong with what we do because we're about our hearts and giving our hearts to those families and to make sure they know, even though we didn't know whoever just passed away, that we're there for them that day. We got their back.
We're speaking with Doug Bly and Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Doug, you and I have talked about this before, but in my family, the grandfather on the other side was a proud Army soldier in Vietnam. And he died, and we asked the Patriot Guard riders to come out, and they came out one January day, cold, but they had on their boots and their coats. And my son went out and showed him a picture of the other grandfather that died and in his uniform and explained to him who they were. And I can't tell you, I thought I was prepared for the riders lining up in front of the church. It was as emotional as anything I've ever seen or felt.
You know, I've been on the family side twice, and you're right. When I walked out of that church or that chapel, and in my case, I'm seeing my friends holding that flag and the wind snapping it, and they're standing at, you know, still in that attention. And, you know, you're grieving for the person who just passed, but, you know, just you know that you're loved. And you know that they're there out of honor, dignity, and respect for the military service. And it really is, it's an amazing thing to go through that I hope nobody ever goes through.
Now, Doug, let's talk about your missions a little bit because you do more than just funerals.
Well, we do, and we were actually talking a little bit earlier off cycle with, you know, we do welcome homes. We do send-offs, you know, for those units, both active guard and reserve. For military members, there's a going and coming. We've put a lot of miles on our motorcycles escorting the buses across the state of Minnesota. We will monthly play bingo at the veterans' homes and the hospitals across Minnesota. We've got an entire group of people do that. We're very active in disabled and veteran hunting. So up at Camp Ripley and any number of different places, from pheasant hunting to wild boar hunting, you know, we're a part of taking veterans out and helping them do that. So, you know, it's important to us as well. We help donate to a lot of other causes within Minnesota that help out the military. You know, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. We're helping this year. We've targeted a couple groups like 23-0 and Band of Brothers Outdoors because it's about young veterans helping young veterans overcome the effects of war. So we can't necessarily get in front of the suicide problem, but what we can do is help those who really can. And as you know yourself, a combat vet can talk to a combat vet. They're not going to talk to me about their issues. So if we can help support and engender some energy around that, that's really what we're about too.
And your riders are all volunteers?
All volunteers. I could tell you, and Tim's put on more miles than I have. We've gotten not one dime for the tens of thousands of miles we've done with this.
And we're going to talk about a ride coming up in a minute, but I want to see if you recall one special mission you went on. About 6.5 years ago, the Adjutant General at that time, Larry Shelato,
yep,
was retiring, and you surprised him at his retirement party.
Well, and General Shalito, Commissioner Shalito, is just such a special friend. And we were talking earlier, we would not be who we are in the state of Minnesota without his efforts. It was actually the funeral services for Colin Miller at Womer that I think he really got a glimpse and a picture of who we were and was so supportive of us, you know, in getting us and accepted and not just accepted but encouraging, you know, his team to ask us to those missions. So when he retired, we surprised him with a flag line in the ballroom. And the real surprise came, we had a vest made with our patches sewn on the back. And I was very, very honored to be the person to present it to him. And as I turned around to the crowd to explain what we were doing, he had already taken his blouse off and had the vest on. So
yeah, he moved quick that night.
He was very quick.
Well, it was quite a sight to see when you surrounded the entire ballroom with the riders. And he was moved. That was fantastic.
You know, he's such a humble man. I can only wish to be him. You know, my approach to leading people and to, I'll never lead troops, but to lead a team of people, I only wish I could emulate him.
Now, Doug, we've only got about a minute left in this segment, but in addition to going all these missions, going away ceremonies, welcome home ceremonies, the funerals, and Tim, you've been on recently telling us about the missions when they bring the bodies back home after 60-some years and how emotional those are, but in addition to those missions, you raise some funds, and you've got a big fundraising event coming up, and then you share that with other organizations, as you've mentioned. It's called the Patriot Ride, and when's the date of that? And we're going to come back and talk about it some more. But
July 8th.
And it's going to be up at the Anoka County Airport?
Anoka County Airport. It's actually the Lynx Forward Operating Base operation. It's off of Radisson Avenue, so take 105th off 65, go to Radisson and go south, and you can't miss it. There'll be 4,000 motorcycles there.
And this is the 12th year?
This will be the 12th year, correct.
And what do you estimate to be the largest number of motorcycles that went on the ride?
Last year we had, I believe it was 3,300, if I remember right, which is close to 5,000 people on the ride itself.
Well, for our listeners, we're going to come back and talk about this, but can you imagine all those motorcycles starting up? They don't really start all at once because you got to let the first crew go, and by the time the first crew gets done with the ride, the last of them are just leaving the airport.
Well, that's exactly a 50-mile route, and I think we had about 3 minutes difference this year.
Well, we've got to take a break, gentlemen. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Patriot Ride with Doug Bly and Tim Leonhardt. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Doug Bly and Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard and the history of the Patriot Guard and the missions, and it's all about, Tim, honor.
Honor, dignity, and respect.
And this all, Doug, we didn't talk about where that started, but when the Patriot Guard started on a nationwide basis, it was because of a particularly bad group that was out bothering our families of our veterans at funerals.
Well, that's right, Tom. It was the Westboro Baptist Church out of Kansas, and the first Patriot Guard members were American Legion Riders out of Mulvane, Kansas, who, in fact, I always call it five Legion Riders and a mad wife who challenged them to do something about it. And they went to the first mission, stood there with their flags, and stood between the family and the Westboro Baptist Church. And from those five guys, there's 500,000 people now doing the right thing.
And I'll bet there aren't many people bothering our families at funerals.
No, not at all. And, you know, we've been very blessed here in Minnesota. We've not had any, you know, quite some time for active duty loss like that. But even before that, we've not seen them, I think, since 2007 or 8. But the whole point was not about them. The whole point became about the mission and became about those families and those who are serving. So we've had a fabulous transition with that.
Good news. And, Tim, if anybody wants to become a writer, where do they go?
MNPatriotGuard.org.
And all they have to have is a good heart and sign up, and they're going to get emails, and they can go to the missions, and they're going to have a time in their life and something to really remember.
They will remember.
Now, Doug, we've talked about the fact that you go on about 500 missions a year. You do a lot of things, but you also raise some money, and you help a lot of organizations that help our military and their families. And your biggest fundraiser of the year is called The Patriot Ride, and I believe that was started by Dennis Kirk back in 2006?
Yeah, 2006, correct. No, and Dennis Kirk is still the sponsor and just, you know, really a driving force behind it. You know, the team of people up there, you know, really with Bob being their CEO on down, you know, have been involved with great honor with what they've done. So the first year was 2006, 100 motorcycles. We now have 100 motorcycles just go out and guard the corners with road carts. That's how far we've come with that. It's really over the last 11 years, it's raised over $2 million here in Minnesota. And like we always like to say, we've raised that money $20 at a time. You know, it's not big corporate sponsors. It's the citizens of Minnesota standing up and helping do the right thing.
And a little raffle every year where you might be able to win a motor scooter?
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with brand new Harleys in your garage, Tom. You know, I should sell you a ticket before I leave.
I know that's not a scooter, but that's how we teased him, because he teases me about driving around in a cage, which is a truck.
Well, and actually this year, thanks to Harley-Davidson, the motorcycle has been donated by Harley-Davidson.
Fantastic.
So, you know, that's another $20,000 to the good side and just helps the cause.
Sure, you don't have to pay the cost of that because you got her free.
Exactly.
So this has evolved over the years, and that ride is this year about a 50-mile ride?
It's about a 50-mile ride again, Tom. It's on July 8th up at the Anoka County Airport. And, you know, people a lot of times say, I don't like going on big bike rides, you know, with big groups of people. It's 50 miles. Every corner is guarded by law enforcement. Every corner is guarded by soldiers in uniform. And it's a very paced ride. So, I mean, I think our top speed's maybe 45 miles an hour. And so it's not like you're riding on the highways with traffic and cars. I mean, it's a very controlled environment. But I would also tell you, it's not even really about the ride anymore. So it's just an entire day of just great activities that's around that.
Well, we want to talk about that. And once again, it's at the Anoka County Airport. And this is open not just to the riders, but it's open to the public. And there's lots to do, food, drinks, vendors, all kinds of things.
Well, you know, the morning and afternoon are full of things. And we're really putting a push on this year to get the non-riding citizens to come out and be part of the celebration of our military. The morning is full of, we've got music in the morning, music in the afternoon. We've got static displays. There's vendor booths. We call it State Fair for Bikers. But just a lot of different things for people to look at and to do. The Hennepin County Equestrian Team is going to be there doing a demonstration, law enforcement horses. We're going to have a SWAT demonstration in the afternoon. You can rent a ride in a helicopter. We've got antique or vintage warplanes that you can take a look at. We've got military equipment displays. And it's just, you know, really there's a lot to do for the non-motorcycle public. And we really would like you to come and be part of what we do.
And a lot of things for the kids to see, in addition to thousands of motorcycles.
Well, exactly. And it's, you know, it's family friendly. You know, it's designed to be that way because, you know, we're not about, you know, this is not a bunch of bad bikers at a rally. This is a bunch of patriots gathering in one day to tell our military and tell our law enforcement personnel we appreciate what they do.
Now, is Tim allowed to come this year?
Tim's actually very important to this. He's the guy who takes all the road guards out. If it wasn't for Tim, our corners aren't safe.
So, Tim, you've got the most important job this year, to keep everybody safe, get them out on the ride, and get them back safe.
Yep, I'm the one that rides out in the middle of the intersection, stops all the cars, and then has people take over for me, and I go to the next one.
But you got great cooperation and support from law enforcement.
They are awesome.
So it will be a safe ride.
It is. It always is. You know, we pride ourselves on the safety of that ride.
Now, Doug, is there a program in the morning and then the ride and a program in the afternoon? How's this break down?
Yeah, we've got speakers in the morning. The two speakers in the morning, first one's Barry Winslow. Actually, I'm going to back up on that, Tom. We've actually got two focuses this year. We've added in appreciation for law enforcement, and this year we're honoring the MIAs from Vietnam. So we've got a Vietnam veteran speaking in the morning, a guy named Barry Winslow, and Sheriff Stanek is speaking in the morning as well. The afternoon speaker, as we're working our way through, it's all about honoring our fallen heroes. So it's actually World War II veteran Norman Bixby will be the speaker in the afternoon.
So there is quite a bit going on in the morning, a lot of stuff to do while people are out riding. You say you've got coffee and breakfast. You've got some live radio broadcasts, a vendor and raffle tickets. You are doing the raffle again this year.
We are doing the raffle.
In the morning program, you're raising the flag, national anthem, Pledge of Allegiance, keynote speaker, and then you're supporting a lot of causes.
Yeah, we are. The Minnesota Patriot Guard, Tribute to the Troops, Minnesota Chapter, the Minnesotans Military Appreciation Fund, and this year we've added in Backing the Blue Line.
Backing the Blue Line. And it's great to see you have law enforcement involved here, too. And a lot of our law enforcement officers are veterans as well, aren't they?
Well, no, very true. And, you know, we've stood for the line of duty death officers.
T6, you're going to have a flyover, T6s.
We do, and it's pretty awesome to see them come in. We've kind of alternated between the T6 flyover and a bunch of crazy Navy SEALs jumping out of airplanes with parachutes and flags and landing in our midst. So we kind of alternate that.
And one year you had a Black Hawk helicopter fly.
We did. And, you know, I'll tell you, that was a pretty interesting year and a pretty tough year to actually see the Black Hawk take off. It was in the middle of the worst of our war period in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I think there was took a few of our veterans back a little too far.
And the afternoon activities, I understand Donnie Smith bike show, some more live radio broadcasts, and a bike wash. After 50 miles, you're going to have to wash your bike, Tim?
Of course. We always do. There's bugs.
Stay out of those puddles, Tim. And Doug, the afternoon program keynote speaker.
Yeah, it's Norman Bixby, as we talked before. The afternoon program, to me, it's all about that we honor one family every year who lost in combat, a Gold Star family, and you know they tell their stories and their remembrances, and that's the most powerful part of the afternoon for me.
So it's a big day, and how many people are you expecting? Anoka County Airport can hold a lot.
We can probably take twice as many people as we have.
Yeah.
So you're going to have plenty of food and drinks for the kids and the families and lots of things for them to see and do. The Bell of Honor is going to be up there, Fallen Soldier Memorial, Fallen Law Enforcement Memorial, and, of course, lots of motorcycles.
Lots of motorcycles. If you just like shiny things, if you've got some issues that shiny things interest you, then it's a great place to go. The Chrome, when the sun is out, will almost blind you.
I would think my granddaughter and grandson would have a lot of fun looking at all those motorcycles.
Well, then you should come up and be a volunteer as well.
We'll see what we can do. All right, Tim, you're expecting a big day. And have you talked to Chaplain Wynn about putting in a good word for the weather?
Oh, we always do. Last year we even tried to get a weatherman on board, and it pretty much worked.
Yeah, that was the best year, as I recall, you've had.
That was beautiful.
It was.
Doug, we just got about 30 seconds left. You want to sum up the Patriot ride?
Thank you to Dennis Kirk for its support all these years. It's July 8th, Anoka County Airport. Go to thepatriotride.org. You can register online, see all the events, see a route to the map, for the ride we're going on, get raffle tickets, and just be part of what we do. But thanks to those who are serving, but more importantly, we remember those who have fallen.
Tim, Doug, you guys do a fabulous job with Minnesota Patriot Guard, and hope to keep seeing you every 4 weeks, Tim. And once in a while, you could send Doug in so that we remember what he looks like. And Doug, fabulous work all these years for a guy that was a civilian, never served in the military. You've done so much to help the military and their families. Thank you very much.
It's my honor.
Gentlemen, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
It was Doug Bly and Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Colonel Mike Price, Doug Bly, and Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Shelliteau of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we meet a new Yellow Ribbon company and get an update from the St. Cloud VA. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.